Today's daf is Chulin daf Mem Dalet, and we are in middle of the Amid of daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis Itmar Turbatz Haveshet. So the Gemara earlier in the Masechta, daf Yud Ches and daf Yud Tes, had two dafin tucked away, because really the sugyas that the Gemara discussed here are more in Perek Eilu Treifas, but the Gemara over there talked about the Mokim HaShchita of the Kana. So we know that the definition of Shechita is, with regards to a behema, the Sheichet has to sever the majority of the two simonim, known as the Kana and the Veshet, the trachea and the esophagus, respectively. If the Sheichet is shechting an oif, he doesn't have to shecht both simonim, but one simon, either the Kana or the Veshet, would be enough. And the Gemara there, Yud Ches, discussed what the exact area of the Shechita of the Kana is, specifically the upper limit. So it's not the entire Kana and the entire Veshet that's okay as the Makam HaShechita. It's a specific part of the Kana and a specific part of the Veshet. So you have to know the upper max of the Kana, the upper max of the Veshet. You have to know the lower part of the Kana and the lower part of the trachea. So there are boundaries within the Kana and the Veshet which make up the Makam Shechita. If you shecht outside of those boundaries, it would be a Pasul Shechita. What would be if some of it was inside and some of it was outside? That's one of the five halachos l'moshe m'Sinai that govern the laws of Shechita. It's what's known as Hagrama. Hagrama relates only to the Kana, not to the Veshet, as Rashi speaks that in the sugya that we're about to learn right now. But the point is that within the Kana and the Veshet, there's a part that's considered the Makam Shechita, there's a part that's not considered the Makam Shechita. The sugya earlier in the Masechta, Daf Yud Ches and Daf Yud Tes, discussed one component of this Shaila, and that is the upper limit of the Kana. So how far up the Kana is considered the Makam Shechita? The Kana connects the throat, the mouth, and the lungs, and it's understood that if you would shecht all the way up right next to the throat, that would be a little too high up on the Kana. So the question is, how far up are you allowed to go? And we saw a big machlokes in the Gemara. The Chachamim and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah, Daf Yud Ches and Aleph said that the proper Makam Shechita, or at least the highest you're allowed to go, is what's known as the Tabas HaGdoila. That's a very thick piece of cartilage that surrounds the upper part of the trachea. L'katchila, you're supposed to shecht in the Tabas HaGdoila, but if you go above the Tabas HaGdoila, it's definitely not going to be okay. Then in the Gemara, there was another shita, the shita of Rabbi Chanina ben Artignos, which the Gemara came out, halacha kamoisei, and that is that you're allowed to shecht even above the Tabas HaGdoila. On top of the Tabas, there's a piece of cartilage that the Chachamim referred to as the hat, the koiva. The koiva slants at a certain part. It's the Adam's apple of the animal. So up until the shipui hakoiva, that's where it's okay to shech. But on top of the shipui hakoiva, it's not going to be okay. The Gemara brought Reish Lakish, who said that you're even allowed to shech on top of the shipui hakoiva. The halacha was like Reb Chanina ben Antignos, that it doesn't have to be in the tabas hakdoila. You're allowed to shech above that, but up until where it starts to slant, up until the shipui hakdoila. That's as it relates to the upper limit of the kana. What we're going to discuss right now is the veshet. And then on tomorrow's daf, on daf mem hey, the Gemara is going to come and discuss the lower limit of the kana. So it's really four boundaries that we have to figure out. The upper and the lower of the kana, the upper and the lower of the veshet. We already addressed the upper of the kana. Now we're going to discuss first the upper and then the lower limits of the veshet. So the Gemara begins with part of the anatomy of an animal referred to as the Turbatz HaVeshet. So what exactly is the Turbatz HaVeshet? The word Veshet suggests that we're talking about the esophagus. But what specifically is the Turbatz HaVeshet? So just to keep this simple, read from the Sefer Tmunei Chol, Chulin Illuminated, from Rabbi Lach. This is section 3, page 150. The Kana, trachea, and Veshet, esophagus, are attached to the mouth of the animal by a short muscular canal, known as the Turbatz HaVeshet, or the pharynx. So the Turbatz HaVeshet, loosely translated, is the pharynx. The muscles of the pharynx are attached to the upper extremities of the trachea and esophagus on one side, and on their other side are moored onto the thyroid bone, as well as the general muscles of the lower section of the head. I'm reading the wrong piece. I apologize. The Turbatz HaVeshet, the pharynx, is a funnel-shaped muscular passageway, this is what we need, that connects the esophagus to the mouth. So what's the Turbatz HaVeshet? It's a muscular passageway that connects the esophagus to the mouth. So the esophagus is attached to the mouth on one side, and to the digestive system of the animal on the other side. But the veshet doesn't go directly into the mouth. There's something that connects it. There's this funnel-shaped muscular passageway. That's what the turbitz haveshet is. Although the pharynx and the esophagus form one long continuous tube, they have different characteristics. The esophagus, having only a thin outer muscular wall, is not a rigid tube. This is important. But rather folds flat against itself. This is comparable, for example, to a rubber balloon depleted of its air. So think of a rubber balloon depleted to its air. It flaps, it folds, as opposed to a rigid plastic drinking straw, which would have the two sides of it wouldn't attach. The pharynx, on the other hand, has a much thicker muscular wall and is thus more rigid and wider than the esophagus. The Gemara quantifies, as the Gemara we're about to learn, the area of the pharynx into three sections. The lowermost is where the tube will fold in upon itself when severed. This is a characteristic of the esophagus itself. So the lowest part of the pharynx, again, the pharynx attaches the esophagus and the throat. The pharynx, the Gemara is going to divide into three sections. So the turbitz haveshet is going to have three sections. The lowest, meaning the one closest to the esophagus, farthest from the mouth, has the same physical characteristics as the esophagus itself. And just like the esophagus, which is a tube, but we're looking at it as a rubber balloon depleted of its air, so the lowest part of the pharynx has those same characteristics. Higher up, as you move your way up the pharynx a little bit, the tube will maintain its rigidity when severed. It's a little bit more rigid. As a result, when it's cut, when it's severed, it's going to maintain its rigidity. It's not going to collapse, but it's going to retain its rigidity. It will neither fold in upon itself, nor will it spread out and become wider. At the highest location of the tube, the passageway will actually widen when cut. The Gemara concludes that the latter two areas make up the pharynx and are subject to the dispute of Rav and Shmuel, as we're about to learn right now. So again, what's the turbitz haveshet? It's the pharynx. What does that mean? It's this muscular passageway that connects the veshet and the throat. From a halachic standpoint, this little pharynx can be divided into three areas, and the areas are based upon how rigid the pharynx is and how it reacts when severed. The lowest part, the part closest to the esophagus, is going to collapse when severed. Of course, that's important because we're talking about shechita, and shechita is severing the veshet. If you go a little bit higher, it won't collapse, but it also won't widen. The highest part, the part closest to the throat, is actually going to widen. Says the Gemara, Itmar, turbitz haveshet. Again, we're learning perikei l'treifas. So we're really not learning the sugyas of the makom hashechita. We're learning if an animal has a defect, it has a wound, how do you look at it from a halacha standpoint? So Rav said, the turbitz haveshet b'mashu, if it has a nekev b'mashu, it's going to be possible. And the reason is because the Mishnah said, Elu treifas b'behema. And what was the first of the yudches treifas? Not the Yudches that were Nemra Halacha L'mayish M'sinai, but the Yudches that the Mishnah mentioned. What was the first of the 18? Nukuvas HaVeshet. So it says, Rav, it's part of the Veshet. And if a Nekev in the Veshet, B'mashu, like Rashi spoke out, first Rashi in the Berek, renders an animal a Trefa. So if you have a Nekev of a Mashu in the Turbitz HaVeshet, that too would make the animal into a Trefa. Shmuel says, Berubai. Shmuel says, no. Unless the majority of the Turbitz HaVeshet was severed, it's not going to be considered a problem. Rav, I'm a B'mashu, Mokam Shechito. Because Rav holds that the Turbitz HaVeshet is considered the Veshet as it relates to Shechito. You could shecht an animal by the Veshet in the turbitz haveshet. If that's the case, if it's a veshet with regards to shechita, it should be a veshet with regards to treifas. So nekuvas haveshet b'mashu is considered a treifa, so there's no reason that a nekuvas haveshet in the turbitz haveshet should make the animal a treifa. Shmuel amarubai, la mokam shechita hu. Because Shmuel held that the turbitz haveshet is not a mokam shechita. If it's not considered a mokam shechita, it means it's not part of the veshet. If it's not part of the veshet, then a nekevir is not considered nekuvas haveshet. So essentially, the shaila between Rav and Shmuel, whether a nekev and the turbitz haveshet would make the animal a treifa or not, does it have to be berubai, or a nekev itself would be enough, is toloi really in whether the turbitz haveshet is considered part of the veshet as it relates to shechita or not. If it's considered the veshet with regards to shechita, then it's considered the veshet with regards to treifas. If it's the veshet, then a hole is a treifa. Nekuvas haveshet is considered a treifa. If, however, it's not considered the veshet with regards to shechita, it's also not considered the veshet with regards to treifas. And if that's the case, a nekev in the turbitz haveshet would not make the animal a shechita. So essentially, this machlokes is Rav and Shmuel, whether a nekev in the turbitz haveshet makes the animal a treifa or not, is really a much broader machlokes. It's a machlokes whether a sheichet could shech the animal in the turbetz of eshet, or is that considered outside of where you're allowed to shech the veshet? Says the Gemara, "Hayni turbetz of eshet. What exactly is the turbetz of eshet? Amam mori bar ukva amashmo kol shechaytchei umarchiv zeh turbetz of eshet. The part of the pharynx of this area, where if you would sever it, the area would expand. We said that's the part that's closest to the throat. That's the turbetz of eshet. But if you're a little bit lower, you're in that middle section, the section where if you sever it, it's going to stay in its place. That's already part of the eshet. That's no shayla that a neck of the mashu would be a problem. Everybody agrees that's a kasha shchita. The machlokes is Rav and Shmuel is only in the turbetz of eshet, and that's the highest of the three sections of the turbetz of eshet. Amar Rapapa, Rapaps, Rapapi said, "Mar lo yamar hachi." I heard from Mar not that way. Who is Mar? Umanu Rabbi Barabai. What did he say? El kol shechaychei v'aybim koymai. Zet turbetz of eshet. The part of the turbetz of eshet where if you sever it, it's going to stay in its place. That's the turbetz of eshet. Meaning the second section is already the turbetz of eshet. Allah is zeh eshet atzmai. What part is considered the eshet? Kol shechaychei v'kavetz. The part of the turbetz of eshet that has the same characteristics as the eshet. Meaning, if you sever it, it's going to collapse. That's the only part that's going to be considered the turbetz of eshet. So we have a machloikis, how you look at the turbetz of eshet. Is it considered veshet, not veshet? Is it makam shchita? Is it not makam shchita? A nekev of a mashu, would it make it a treifa? Would it not make it a treifa? And now we have another shaila. Where exactly is the turbetz of eshet? So we know it's the pharynx. We know it's that funnel that connects the esophagus with the mouth, with the jaw of the animal. The question, however, is we know the pharynx can be divided into three parts, and the shaila is which of the three parts is considered the turbetz of eshet. The lowest section, everybody agrees, is the veshet. The question is it the second and the third moving towards the mouth, or is it only the third? Says the Gemara, Yoina Amar Reb Zeira Yoina. So shaila, what exactly Yoina means? Rashi says was the name of an Amira, as in Reb Yoina. Others say that we're dealing with a Yoina, a dove. But Pashup Shad is Reb Yoina saying the name Reb Zeira Mavlata, that turbetz of eshet is the area closest to the mouth. Vekama, how wide of an area is that? Amar Rav Avyo Pachas Misarta, it's a little bit less than the length of a barley. Vaadav Michitasa, but it's a little bit larger than the length of chita. Says the Gemara, a story. So this is a real chulin story. Every mesachta has its own types of stories. So this is a real chulin maisa. Who turned up with Rav Ukva? The sons of Rav Ukva had a shirt. The ascho bashchita, the turbetz of eshet, the shoychet, was shechting. And he shechted the veshet. He started it in the turbetz of eshet, v'gomam v'veshet. And then he concluded it in the veshet itself. And this shaila was brought to Rava. Is it a kosher animal or is it not a kosher animal? So he started shechting in the turbetz of eshet, and he concluded the shechita in the veshet. Amar Rava. So Rava said it's a problem. Ramina lech chumrei de Rav v'chumrei de Shmuel. So Rav issued a chumra. He said that it's a problem. You know why? Because we know there's machlekes Rav and Shmuel with regards to the turbetz of eshet. He's going to speak it out, and I'm going to go lechumra like Rav, and I'm going to go lechumra like Shmuel. But tarifnum, he explained, chumra de Rav, domer Rav b'mashu. Rav said that a nekev in the turbetz of eshet makes an animal a treifa, and being that it was aschov v'shchita b'turbetz of eshet, the shchita began in the turbetz of eshet. So before the sheichit got to do a proper shchita, the animal already had a nekev in its turbetz of eshet. If it had a nekev in its turbetz of eshet, at that point, according to Rav, it was a treifa. So it was a treifa before he shechted. Said Rava, you're going to ask me a kasha, that if I'm going like Rav, and I'm saying that a nekev of a mashu is a problem, the turbetz of eshet, v'amir Rav makim shchito. But Rav said it's a makim shchito, and this was already a kasha shchito. Right, where's it going to be in a geya if you have a nekev in the turbetz of eshet that it should be a problem according to Rav? If it wasn't done with a proper shchita. But over here, it had a proper shchita. So if it had a proper shchita, what should be the issue? So Rav said, no, but I have another chumra. I'm going to go kishmul. I'm allowed makam shchita. Didn't Shmuel say it's not a makam shchita? But ikishmul, you'll tell me if I'm going like Shmuel, I'm a berubai. Shmuel said that it's true, the turbetz of eshet is not a makam shchita, but the only time a treifa in the turbetz of eshet happens as if it was severed beroiv. He said, it's true, but I'm going to Rav, Dama b'mashu. So Rav went ahead and Rav said, between Rav and Shmuel, I'm going to nail this animal. Because according to Rav, it's a kosher shchita, but according to Shmuel, it's not a kosher shchita. According to Shmuel, it's true, it's not a kosher shchita, but the only way there'd be a problem is if you severed roiv of the Torah Mitzvah. In this case, it was only a mashu. But Rav holds that a nekev of a mashu in the Torah Mitzvah is enough to add. But according to Rav, it's a kasha shechita. I know, but according to Shmuel, it's not. Yeah, but according to Shmuel, it's not a treif anyways. According to Rav, if it was... Say chumrei the Rav, for chumrei the Shmuel, and that was the chumra that Rav Yishu says the Gemara Galgal Milso. So this chumra, this psak, made its rounds and matoy lekami the Rav Abba, and it landed on the desk of Rav Abba. And when Rav Abba heard this, he was very taken aback. Amaluhu tura this shor bein le Rav bein le Shmuel shori. This is a shor that's mutter according to everybody. Why? According to Rav, it's a kasher shechita. And according to Shmuel, it's not a treifa because you need Rav at the Torah Mitzvah Eshet. So what do you mean Rav said chumri the Rav, chumri the Shmuel? It's just the opposite. And he said, go say the braid of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama. Go tell the son of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama. So who was Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama's son? Rav. So now you know the rest of the story. Who was Rav's father? It's a good trivia question. It's Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama. Go tell him the lashlim. You always have Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rav. I guess it was named after his father. Rav's father's name was Rabbi Yosef. So either way, he told him, go tell him to lishlam leitur lamari that he has to pay back. He owes the bnei ravuk for a shar because he paskin wrong and he caused them a hefset mom. Gemara says, Amar bre the ravino, Amar the son of ravino also heard this story. And when he heard this story, he said, my svino tiufte klapi son of the rava. I'm going to ask Akasha on the enemy of rava. Rashi says it's a loshen sagi nahar that this he was speaking euphemistically. He didn't mean on the enemy of rava. He mean Akasha on rava. He too was very bothered with the psak of rava, and he asked a very elaborate question that's going to cause the Gemara to digress so that we can all exhale for a moment. What was the kasha that he asked on Rava from the following Braisa, a well-known Braisa, a Braisa that's mentioned throughout Shas, says the Gemara, Lo'ilam Hilchus Akedivir Beis Hillel. We know there's many machloikas in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in Shas. Says the Braisa, the Halacha is always like Beis Hillel, stating that. V'aroitza lasu Akedivir Beis Shammai Oysa. Somebody wants to go like Beis Shammai, go like Beis Shammai. You want to go like Beis Hillel, go like Beis Hillel. Mikula Beis Shammai, Mikula Beis Hillel. What's if somebody, he always wants to be a Mekel. I'm going to pick Beis Hillel whenever he's Mekel, which is most of the times, and I'm going to pick Beis Shammai the few times that he's Mekel, like the first Mishnah of Masechet Beya. If somebody does that, Russia. That's not good. Let's say somebody says, I'm always going to be a machmer. He's just a fool. Elo, what are you supposed to do? You have to pick. So before we get back to our Gemara, the Gemara says, how do you understand the Brisa itself? How did the Brisa begin? And then what does the Brisa say in the next breath? What do you mean? If the halacha is like Beis Hillel, then how do you have the choice to go ahead and do like Beis Shammai? Says the Gemara, like Kasha, Kan Koidem Baskel, Kam Lacher Baskel. We know that the Machloikis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was resolved with a Baskel. So before the Baskel said that Halach is like Beis Hillel, Haroitz Alas Kedivri Beis Shammai Oisa, Kedivri Beis Hillel Oisa. And that's what that part of the price is referring to. It's referring to the Zman, the Tkufa, in history of pre-Baskel. Pre-Baskel, the halacha was, if you want, you could go ahead and do like Beis Shammai. But once the Baskel came, then of course the halacha is going to end up being like Beis Hillel. So it's true, the Braisa seems to contradict itself. On the one hand, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Then again, Haroitza Lasu is Kedivrei Beis Shammai Oysa. How do you reconcile a blatant contradiction, literally, Toich Kedei Dibur in one Braisa? Talking about two different periods in history. There was a tkufa in history of Koidem the Baskel. There was the tkufa in history of Achar the Baskel. Koidem the Baskel. Haroitz alasus kedivri Beis Shammai oisa. Haroitz alasus kedivri Beis Hillel oisa. Once the Baskel came out, then you can't go like Beis Shammai anymore. Then the halacha is, of course, going to be dafka like Beis Hillel. Iba yisem another tirus af Achar Baskel. It could be the entire Braisa is referring to the tkufa of post Baskel. Rabbi Yeshua Yadama Meshkechem Baskel. And the part of the Braisa that says if somebody wants to go like Beis Shammai, he can. It's going to Rabbi Yeshua, who holds a mashkichim a baskel. It's a very important taisus here on the top of Memdal and Aleph. This taisus also many places in Shas. The ain't kama koymi laharach. But either way, says the Gemara, mikom akim kasha. The bottom line is we have a kasha. Marbrei the Ravina said, Rava, how could you go ahead and issue a psak kechumre? The Rav ukechumre the Shmuel. We have a brisa. The brisa says that even in the world of you can pick and choose between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether it's Rabbi Yeshua, La'achar HaBaskel, or whether it's according to everybody, Koidem HaBaskel, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is that even in that world, you can't go Kechumre Beis Shammai or Kechumre Beis Hillel. You have to pick and choose. Now, the truth is, it's very tempting to walk away from this Gemara and say, you see, you can't just always be Machmer, or you can't just always be Mekel. Rashi says not what the Gemara means. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Erev and Dav Zayin, where the Gemara clarifies what does the Gemara mean when it says that if somebody goes kechumre beishamai or kechumre beisol, he's a fool. Or if someone goes kekule beishamai or kekule beishilol, he's considered a rasha. What it means is as follows. It means if you have a machloikis between beishamai and beishilol, and that machloikis can sometimes manifest, one machloikis, manifests itself as beishamai being a machmer, and sometimes manifests itself as beishilol being a machmer, and vice versa. There you can't pick and choose. You can't say that I'm going to go with regards to this shayla, kechumer beishamai, kechumer beishilol. That doesn't make sense, because the two chumras contradict each other. For example, the Gemara over there is discussing something that we had earlier in the parak, where if the shedra of the animal is missing some of its vertebrae, so that can render it a treifa. And the Gemara asked a shayla, how much vertebrae does it have to be missing? And the Gemara said that according to Beis Shammai, it has to be missing two vertebrae. According to Beis Hillel, it only has to be missing one vertebrae. And the Gemara said, b'chein l'treifa. The same thing is going to be true with regards to a person. A person who's metame ba'ayol, so you have the same exact shayla. How much vertebrae is the shedra allowed to be missing in order for it still to have the halacha that it could be metamal oil? So really, if you think about it, it comes out that sometimes you're going to go to chumrah and sometimes you're going to go to kula, depending on how you paskin. If you hold that an animal has to be missing two vertebrae in order for it to be considered a treifa, so that's a kula in Hilchas Treifas. But it's going to come out of chumrah when it comes to tumas oil, because that means that if an animal, a person is only missing one vertebrae, it's still considered a shadra, and as a result, it's going to be metama. So it's the same shayla. Is it one chulya or is it two chulyas? If you're looking at this shayla, hilchas treifas, it's going to be a kula or chumra one way. If you're looking at tumas soil, it's going to be a kula or chumra one way. So you can't go ahead and say, I'm going to always assume that if it's missing one vertebrae, that it's a treifa, and if it's missing one vertebrae, the other is going to be metama ba'oil. Doesn't make sense. You have to pick and choose because it's based on one underlying principle. So that was the kasha my brother Ravina asked. He said, Rava went ahead and he went kechumre de Rav, kechumre de Shmuel. I don't have a problem. You could do that. You can always paskin lechumre like Bishamai. You can always paskin lechumre like Bishamai. That doesn't make you a ksil. That doesn't make you a fool. That makes you a machmer. That doesn't make you a fool. You know when you're a fool? Where it's one shiloh, you don't understand the sugya. We have no idea what's flying. And you're just going at it. I'm going to be, that's where you become a ksil. Because you can't pick and choose within one shayla, either you hold its mutter or you hold its aser. It's true, every psak halacha, very often, one psak will manifest itself with kula, will manifest itself with chumra. So Rabbi Ravina told Rava, he says, I don't understand. The shayla of whether or not a nekev and the turbit saveshet is considered a nekev is really totally in a different shayla. Is it a makam shchita or is it not a makam shchita? So how could you go ahead and go to chumra that it's a makam shchita, but at the same time, go ahead and go say, tell me it's not a makam shchita, and then at the same time go to chumra and say that a nekev of a treifa is going to make it into a nekev of a mashu is going to make it into a treifa. If it's a makam, if a nekev of a mashu makes it a treifa, that means a makam shchita. If it's a makam shchita, that means it's kosher. So you want to go ahead and say I hold like Rav with regards to this chumra, like Shmuel with regards to that chumra. That's okay, but being that both chumras are really totally in the same shayla, so it comes out that you're going l'chumra that it is the makam shchita, and then you're going l'chumra that it's not the makam shchita. That's not the way you paskin. You have to pick and choose. You have to decide. It is the makam shchita or it's not the makam shchita. That was the tzushtel between this halacha of chumre b'shamik, chumre b'sol, to the chumre d'rav, the chumre d'shmol. So the bottom line is, these are all great kashas. So at the end of the day, what did Rava hold? I mean, Rava knew what he was paskining. So what was pshat in Rava? Says the Gemara, Amrav Tavas, kulik Rav Avdo. Really, Rava was paskining like Rav. Why? Rava had a different understanding of the Machlekes Rav Shmuel. The Rav by Yecheskel, Rav by Yecheskel came. He said, "Loi tatzitzu lahani kloy the kai Yehuda achi mishmei Rav." Don't listen to everything that my brother Yehuda said in the name of Rav. So who is Yecheskel's brother Yehuda? It's Rav Yehuda to us. It's the great admirer Rav Yehuda, who was a Talmud of Rav. He was also a Talmud of Shmuel. And Rashi over here says, a very important Rashi, that the majority of the halachis that we know in the name of Rav and Shas all come from Rav Yehuda. So even though the Gemara mentioned, there was no mention of Rav Yehuda saying this halach in the name of Rav, this shayl of Turbet Tzavesha, Nekev Amashu, renders the animal a treifa, but most members of Rav come from Rav Yehuda. So this also comes from Rav Yehuda. So Rami Bar Yecheskel, who was Rav Yehuda's brother, said, don't listen to my brother. A lot of the halachas that my brother Rav Yehuda said, don't pay such close attention to it. Meaning, the understanding was based on what Rav Yehuda had said in the name of Rav, that the reason Rav paskened that a neker b'mashu in the turbit veshet makes the animal a treifa is because it's a makom shechita. It's not true. Hachi amar Rav veshet nasnu bar chachamim shir, that there is a shir of how high up you're allowed to shecht in the veshet. And if that's the case, b'chal turbit veshet a makom shechita. It can't be that the turbit veshet is a makom shechita. You know why? Because if the turbit veshet is a makom shechita, then what's the shir? What's the upper limit? On top of the turbit veshet, that's already the jaw of the animal. Can't be higher than that. So if there's a shear, must be, Rav holds that the turbit veshet is not a mokum shechita, become a b'mashu, and still he said b'mashu. Meaning, we thought that the reason Rav held that a nekev mashu in the turbit veshet makes the animal a treifa is because Rav holds that the turbit veshet is the veshet. And if it's the veshet with regards to the shechita, it's also the veshet as it relates to the halacha l'moishim misinai of nekuvas veshet b'mashu. Said Rami bar Yecheskel, I know that something my brother of Yehuda said, but it's not evidence. Don't listen to it. It's not true. Rav never said that. Rav just said that the halacha l'moishim misinai of nekuvas veshet b'mashu applied to the turbit veshet as well, but not that the turbit veshet is considered the veshet as relates to shechita. And I'll prove it to you, because Rav said there's a sheer l'mayla of the veshet. Now, if the turbit veshet is considered a place where you could do shechita on the veshet, then what's the shear? Shear would suggest there's a boundary. If you're on this side, you're good. If you're on that side, you're not good. If the turbit veshet is good, there's nothing on the other side of the turbit veshet that you would have a havamina ben benoy shel havamina. You should be able to do the shechita, because then you're already in the throat. We know it has to be the lochel mishrisina is the kan and the veshet. So must be Rav held that the turbit veshet, the only thing it could possibly be, is not considered the veshet with regards to shechita. It is considered the veshet as it relates to the hilchasa of nekuvas veshet. So the bottom line is, it wasn't a steer. Rav's psak was a wonderful psak. What Rav was essentially was doing was, he was passing like Rav. He said there was an animal that came, and the shechita started in the turbit veshet, and made its way down to the veshet. Rav said, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do with this animal. Because according to Rav, hilchasa k'rav b'isuri, so according to Rav, this is a nekuvas veshet, and therefore, it's going to be a problem. It's true. If you hold that Rav holds that it's a makom shechita, then it would have been kosher according to Rav. And it would have been kosher according to Shmuel also. Because even Shmuel that holds not a makom shechita, you need Rav. You didn't have Rav in the Torbit Zaveshet. The point is that Rav really was passing 100% like Rav. We thought it was kechumri the Rav, kechumri the Shmuel. Because we had a poor understanding. So we have to, it's true, you have to revisit the Lashon of the Gemara. But the bottom line is, that's what the Gemara comes out. L'maskona, says the Gemara. L'mayla ad kamo. What is the shir l'mayla? Didn't we just say it's the Torbit Zaveshet? Right, says the Gemara l'mayla ad kamo. Amar Rav Nachman, ad k'dei tfisas yad. And the Gemara gives Rashi says a few pshat on what this means, and I think the pshat that the Paiskim say is the ikr pshat is it's four etzbois, it's the width of four fingers, that's the shir l'mayla. So the Paiskim say, the Yad Binyamin, so brought here in the Sefer Tmunei Chayil, says, what do you mean, didn't we just discuss that on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis? Says, Vaisois, it's one and the same. It's the same exact shear. That till now we've been talking just from the anatomy perspective, the Torbit Zaveshet. Now we're giving you like a little cheat sheet, tachlis. Is there an easy way to figure out what the makom shechita is? So you could sit there and examine the Torbit Zaveshet, or you could just take your four fingers, the width of your four fingers, that's up until where we assume is the Torbit Zaveshet. Veshet. Anything below that is going to be a kosher makom of shechita. L'mata ad kama. So what about the shir l'mayta? What's the lower limit as it relates to the veshet? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravu. Ad k'dei sheyaser. It's until it starts getting hairy. So the stomach is lined with papillae, which is like a hair-like thing. Right? And it Chazal referred to it as Kadesha Yasser. The bottom line is up in that ear is already considered to be part of the stomach, and as a result, it's not the veshet anymore. But the Gemara says, Aini. This is all Rav. Tefach beveshet, samuch likeres, zeo keres, pnimi. The last tefach of the veshet, the tefach closest to the keres, is considered already the keres apnimi. We had the keres apnimi in the Mishnah. It's going to be discussed later in the Gemara. So the closest, that last tefach of the veshet, right next to the keres, is already considered the keres. What's the kasho? If that's the case, amayki koshachit, bekeres koshachit. So how you let it shecht all the way down to the bottom? From the Gemara saying, ad k'dei sheyaser, until the area where it gets here, it sounds like you let it go all the way into the keres. The problem is if that last tefach is considered the keres apnimi, that means the last tefach of the veshed is considered the stomach. You can't do shechita in the stomach. It's mashma, according to Rav, you can go all the way down until the keres. No, you should have to stop by the last tefach. Because didn't Rav say the last tefach is the keres apnimi? So the Gemara says, no. Eim a tefach be keres, stomach of veshed, zero keres apnimi. We're off by one word, but it makes the whole difference. It's not the last tefach of the veshet, samach lekeres, that's the keres apnimi. It's the first tefach of the keres, samach leveshet, that's the keres apnimi. So is it the last tefach of the veshet, or is it the first tefach, is it my right or your right, or is it the first tefach of the keres, that's the shiloh. The point is, the Gemara is saying in the first teretz that it's the first tefach of the keres, that's the keres apnimi. But really, the veshet goes all the way to the bottom, and it's all the veshet, thus you're allowed to shecht until the bottom. Iba yisema, ki kamerah betur the masetfei. Or it could be there's a chilek between a shor and an ordinary animal. A shor is very hairy. So, and as a result, the keres goes into the first tefach of the veshet, because the hair is there, and that's what defines keres according to Rav. And it's for that reason that that area would not be considered makam shechita. When Rav said you can shecht all the way down to the bottom, he was referring to an ordinary animal, the veshet goes till the keres. But enochinami, there is this memory b'shem Rav that when we're dealing with a shor, the halachas will be a little bit different. It's up until that final tefach. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Turbetz HaVeshet, Shenit Kulim Milechi Kasher. Another halacha with regards to the Turbetz HaVeshet. So if the Turbetz HaVeshet was removed from the jaw of the animal, so the Turbetz HaVeshet, again, that's the funnel that connects the kana and the veshet to the jaw, right? So they're attached to the mouth. What attaches them? That's the pharynx. That's this little passageway that connects them together. So said Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. So we were discussing Rav, now we're discussing Shmuel. Turbetz HaVeshet Shenitukul Melech, if it was removed, it was dislodged from the jaw, it's going to be kosher. V'tana tuna. And Shmuel said, I have a raya. Nita lechi hatachdoin. Kosher. If the entire jaw of the animal was removed, the lower part of the animal's jaw was removed, it's one of the trefas that the Mishnah mentions later is going to be kosher. Now, how could you tell me that if the Turbetz HaVeshet was dislodged from the lechi, it's possible? If you don't have to have the lechi at all, it's kosher, then obviously, right, by removing the lechi, so the Turbetz HaVeshet was dislodged from the lechi. There is no lechi for it to be lodged into. So, said Shmuel, v'tana tuna, I have a raya from the Mishnah. The raya is that the lechi can be completely removed, so kal v'chomer, if the Turbetz HaVeshet is just this lodge, it's going to be okay. Maskel Rapapa, Rapapa asked the kasha. I don't understand. Ikur Simonim, isn't something called Ikur? We've had this. Ikur, by the way, is even one of the five, forget about Hilchos Treifas. It's one of the five halachas. You're not allowed to shecht an animal if the Simonim were Nekar. Right? It's even a Shechita problem. The animal's not even, it's not even Shachut Kasha. I mean, it's even going to be Tumas Nevela if there was Ikur Simonim. It's not even a shechita. But the point is that what happened to the ikur simanim? Says the Gemara, Papa Kacha Masnissen. I hear a pup. It's a nice kasha. But why are you asking the kasha on Shmuel? Shmuel had a raya from the Mishnah. Shmuel said, Nitel lechi atachten kasha. So, Rapapa, instead of asking a kasha on Shmuel, ask it on the Mishnah. You have the Mishnah that says, Nitel lechi atachten kasha. And you have a loch of ikur simanim. So he said, no. Bishlam Masnissen, Rapapa, the kasha. You want to know, Rapapa didn't ask a kasha on the Mishnah. Because how the ake kuri, how the igum igumi. Because Rav Papa thought, right, that there's no chilek. The chilek is that maybe the Mishnah says that nita lechi atachten it's kosher, it's the area right above where the pharynx attaches to the lechi. So the lechi wasn't, the pharynx wasn't moved. The Turbetz HaVeshet's in place. What do you mean? The lechi's not there. The area right above where it's lodged, that part was removed. But it could be there wasn't an ikur simanim. But Shmuel held Psham the Mishnah literally. Because Shmuel was Mechadish Halacha, that the Turbetz HaVeshet is allowed to be removed from the Lechi. How did he know that from the Mishnah? Because he obviously understood the Mishnah means there's no Lechi at all. That's where a puppet's Kasha was a Kasha on Shmuel. It wasn't a Kasha on the Mishnah itself. So the Gemara says, El Shmuel, you have to say, right, Kasha, that Shmuel is going to say that when the Mishnah says, Nitel Lechi Atachten Kasha, doesn't mean the entire Lechi was removed. It means the majority of it was removed. When it says ikur simanim, you know, this halach of ikur that we're all familiar with, that's talking about where the simanim were completely nekar. Now, you're going to be forced to say, by the way, if that's the case, that Shmuel's v'tana tuna falls off. Because Shmuel, at the end of the day, was bringing a raya from the Mishnah that ikur simanim is going to be kosher. L'chayr from the Mishnah, now that Shmuel's teaching nita lechi atachting differently, you have no raya from the Mishnah. But the point is, that's how Shmuel's going to have to answer. But at the end of the day, if it was Rubai, if it was removed, then it's going to be okay. Frank the Gemara, is that true? If Rubai, if it is removed, it's okay. That even Rubai, if it is not okay. This was one of the Shev Shmeitzah that Shmuel himself said. So how could Shmuel tell me that Roiv is okay? Here you see Roiv is a treifa, am Rav Shesha, Breid Ravidi, had the ikpalik pule, hasam the fruke fruke. You have to say there's two different Roivs. There's Roiv where the Roiv is all in one place. And then there's Roiv where it's removed a little here, a little there. If you add it all together, you're going to end up with a Roiv. Apparently, if it's in different places, it's worse. Because that shows a sign that something must have happened to this animal and the thing is about to collapse. If it's removed just in one area, then maybe you just need a good chiropractor. But if it's removed in a bunch of areas, this animal is unfortunately, it's not going to have a good ending. And that's when it is considered a treifa. Exhale. Talk about the kana. So exhale. Either way, pun intended. So before we go weiter, one ha'ara. And that is, so the Gemara over here mentioned the braisa of la'olam halacha k'divrei beis hillel. V'roitza las k'divrei beis shammai yosa. You know, let's finish the Gemara first, then we'll speak out right. Upsukas agargeres. So what exactly is that? Oh, so the first treifa mentioned in the Mishnah was nekuvas haveshet, a nekev of mashu in the esophagus. What about the turbet haveshet? That's what we just learned. That would make the animal a treifa. The second treifa was psukas hagargeres. If the kana, the trachea, didn't just have a nekev, but there it has to be severed. What's the definition of severed? Roiv. That too would make it a treifa. So the veshet is much more chamer than the kana is. As it relates to the veshet, a nekev makes it a treifa. As it relates to the kana, it has to be nifsak. Rupa, it says the Gemara Tana, Kama Psukas Agargeres, Berupa. It has to be Roiv, right? The Mishnah didn't say Roiv. The Gemara says Roiv. The Kama Ruba, and what exactly is Roiv? Rav Amar Rav says Roiv Avya. It means the majority of its thickness. For Amri Law, some say Roiv Chalala. Doesn't have to be the majority of its thickness, but as long as you got the majority of its circumference from the inside, the hollow part, that in and of itself would be enough. So what exactly does this mean? So this is really based on something that we talked about on Daf Yutches and Daf Yutes when we spoke about the Makom Shechita of the Kana, and that is that the Kana, the trachea, is surrounded by cartilage. But the cartilage that surrounds the majority of the kana is shaped like a horseshoe. It doesn't surround it 100%, but rather it only surrounds most of it. So there's a part of the kana that's not surrounded by this cartilage. What it has is it has a very thin membrane of skin, of what Chazal referred to as a ritzuas habasar, that covers it on that area, which means that it's much thicker on one side than it is on the other side. So the understanding of Roiv is that it would have to be nifsaka. So take one part, take one chulia, right, one ring of the kana, and if the majority of it is severed, right, it's very easy to conceptualize, if the majority of it was severed, that would be the definition, right, cut in half, that would be the definition of Roiv. The question is, do you have to get the majority of the thickness itself or not? The nafkamina would be is if you're coming from the lower side, if it's on the bottom side where the sever is then it would be much easier to sever it than if you're coming from the top. Because if you need to get the majority of the oivyai as well, then you would have to shecht a good part of the top part in order for it to be considered roiv. If you don't need the oivyai, so it doesn't matter if you're coming from the top, you're coming from the bottom, as long as you get roiv of the circumference of one area, that would be considered already nifsika. But if you have to get the thickness matters as it relates to defining roiv, then you would have no choice but to get a good chunk of the top. Because unless you get a good chelik of the top part of it, you're not going to end up getting Roiv Avya. Either way, so there were two versions of what exactly Rav said. So Rav said that Psukas HaGargeres means Roiv. What does Roiv mean? Some say Rav said Roiv Avya. Others say that Rav said Roiv Chalol. So that's the Gemara. He Psukas HaGargeres. That's why they came to Rav. There was a Psukas HaGargeres that came to Rav. Yes, the Kabbalah Kleber Roiv Avya. So Rav sat down and he was trying to inspect to make sure if there was Roiv Avya. Amrle Rav Kan of Rav Asi the Rav. So Rav Kan of Rav Asi told Rav, the Madatana Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us Roiv Chalol? Didn't you see Roiv Chalol is enough? In this case, Roiv Avya would have been a chumrah. So he told him, isn't Roiv Chalala enough? Meaning they thought maybe it's okay to eat this animal because they thought Roiv Chalala, it didn't have. It just had Roiv Avya. So the Gemara says, Shadu l'kami de Rabba Bar Bar Chana. So they ended up sending this animal to Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Batka be Roiv Chalala, he was Baidik Roiv Chalala v'achshur. And based on that, he was machshur. V'zoven mina, and Rabba Bar Chana himself ended up buying. Betleisa istiri pshiti bes. Ended up buying some of the meat. I mean, the person came to him and he said, is this okay? Is it not okay? He was baidik bereiv chalala. He said, not like Rav. He said, it's okay. And then he said, by the way, I'd rather need meat. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana ends up buying meat from this person. And the Gemara is going to ask three kashas, all fascinating. Three questions on this story of Rabbi Bar Bachana. Number one, how was Rabbi Bar Bachana allowed to paskin a shayla and issue a kula after Rav seemingly issued a chumrah? Right, what happened? Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were sitting with Rav. There's an animal, and Rav was being boydik in the shreifas, and he was going to do a chumrah Rav Avya, and they said, why are we being machmir Rav Avya? So they send the animal to Rabbi Bar Bachana. It seems like Rabbi Bar Bachana knew this. In fact, it sounds like Rav was the one that sent the animal to Rabbi Bar Bachana. But either way, Rabbi Bar Bachana gets the animal, and he himself goes ahead now, and he says it's okay. He's matter with Rav Chalala, afraid to Gemara. Could a chacham go ahead and be matter something that another chacham was already machmir? Vatanya, there's a brayso. Chacham shetimei in chaver reshoy latar asar in chaver reshoy lahater. So how is he allowed to do it? Rav was machmer. How was Rabbi Bar Bachana allowed to be mekel? So the Gemara says, Shani hocha, the Rav lay also meisa. Rav was never machmer. Rav never issued a psak. Rav was looking at it. He was being by the grave of you. They said, why being by the grave of you? Isn't it Rav Chalala? So Rav didn't want to get involved in Rav Chalala. So he sent it to Rabbi Bar Bachana. But being that Rav himself never issued a psak. Had Rav issued a psak, there was a tshuva in Rav's tshuva sefer. Okay, that had been a problem. But he never issued a psak. He was going to issue a psak. Could have, would have, should have, but he never did. That was the story. Before Rav said anything, they brought it to Rabbi Bar Bachana. As a result, there was nothing wrong with what Rabbi Bar Bachana did. That was the first kash. Second kasha. A bigger problem. How was Rabbi Bar Bachana allowed to eat from this behemoth? This behemoth was ta'un she'ilas Rav. And an animal that needs she'ilas Rav, thou shalt not eat from. How do you know that? Vaksiv. Va'oimar aho Hashem alokim. He named Nafshi loy mitama unavela betrevel yochalti min urevad ata. V'loy bos b'fi b'sar pigel. Who said this? Yecheskel Anavi. Sounds familiar? Of course. We had it last week, last Friday. So we had it, says the one, he named Nafshi last Thursday. Loy metuma shaloy her harti, because this is really yesterday's daf. He named Nafshi loy metuma shaloy her harti bayoim. He loved the tumah b'layim. What did Yecheskel Navi mean when he said that he's not tummy? It means he never had a hearer of an avera during the day that would have brought him to do an avera by night. Tais was kasha v'dazar daf chafam mebeis. What do you mean? I thought it's aser. Yeah, it's aser. But the Gemara says in Bava Basra Kuf Samach Dalet that three things people are not nizerin, unfortunately. Ein Adam nitzel mehem b'chol yom de Teres Chaim. Ein Adam. It's not even possible. If you're an Adam, it's not possible. But if you elevate yourself above the Madreig of Adam, then it is possible. But either way, so the first thing he said was, Shlo hir harti b'yom lovi day tumah b'lai. Unavela b'shevel yichalti. What Yecheskel Anavi? Yecheskel says, I never ate nevelos and treifas. Of course, Yecheskel never ate nevelos and treifas. You're not supposed to eat nevelos and treifas. What he meant was, Shlo yichalti basar kois. What he meant to say was that he never ate from a behema misukenes, an animal where they say, kois, kois, eat it fast, shecht it quickly before it dies. What did he ask me when he said he never ate pigol? One shot means he never ate from an animal that needed a shayla. If the animal required a shayla, if this animal was presented to a rav, that was enough of a reason for Yechaskel to say, I'm not going to eat it. Rishum Rab Nasan Amru, shalay yachalti mi behema. That even though Yecheskel was a kohen, so he didn't have to give the matnas kahuna, the zroya, the lechayim, and the keva, he would do it anyways. But either way, what do you see from here? That Yecheskel Anavi, one of his chumras war, that he never ate from an animal that required the shayla of a chacham. If that's the case, why would Rabbi Bar Bachana not adapt the same exact minute? Why do you even eat from this? To the extent that it had a shayla, came to Rav Bar Bachana. There's a little drama with this animal. So l'chayr, that in and of itself should make it then on arrival. That in and of itself, pun intended, should be a reason that you should not be able to eat this animal. Zok de Gemara. No, it's very different. Wait, what's the difference? Hani mili milsa detalya besvara. Rabbi Bar Bachana, agmari samach. It's very different. If you have a shayla, right? Somebody brings a shayla to him. It's not sure. The Rav doesn't know. Is it kosher or not? It's not halacha Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't have a mesorah from his rabbi. It's not a mefurish, a tshuvas chasam soifer, a noida b'yehuda, or an igris maisha. He doesn't know what to do. So like, I don't know. I don't know what to do with this. So he has to come up with a lamdis and a svar and tudinim, and you come up with a whole shtickle Torah. So that Yecheskel said, you know what? I'm not eating from that piece of meat. And the Gemara assumes Rabbi Bar Bachana went to eat from an animal. But what was the shayla over here? The shayla was, is how do you define Psukas HaGargaris? We know it's Rav. Is it Rav Avya? Or is it Rav Chalala? Rabbi Bar Bachana said, there's no shayla. I know it's Rav Chalala. That's my Messiah. I have such a Messiah. Being that he had a Messiah, there was no reason for him to be Machmer, says the Gemara. A third Kasha. V'tepiklei. I don't understand this story. What did Rabbi Bar Bachana do? He went ahead and he bought meat from an animal that he himself issued a psak is mutter. L'chayr, I have another reason it shouldn't be a koi. Mishum chshada. Why are you worried about chshad? It looks a little like shleichat, right? Doesn't it look a little like, maybe Rabbi Bar Bar Chana knew he wanted to buy the meat. So he said, I'm going to make it mutter, but we'll go 50-50. You give me a good deal. Right? It says the Gemara. Now, of course, Rabbi Chana would never do that. But there's something called chshad. There's something called marisayin. We had it earlier in the week. There's something called ve'isim nikiyim, Hashem and Yisrael. So how in the world was Rabbi Bar Bar Chana allowed to do that? The Tanya. And it's a mefurish halacha. Donis hadin. If a dying paskin the shayla zika v'chayif timei v'tiyer asa v'hiter v'cheina edim she'idur edim that say edim kulam rasham likach. They're allowed to go ahead. You're allowed to buy something that you said is okay, right? Edim are allowed to get involved in a psak. They can leverage a psak that was based on their testimony, but at the same time, aval amru chachamim harchik min hakiyur min adayim alay. It's not advisable. Don't do it. Because at the end of the day, it's not going to look, it doesn't pass the smell test. So l'chayra, how is Rabbi Bar Bar Chana allowed to buy this meat that he himself paskind is okay? So the Gemara says, no, it's different. Because hani mili midi de mazbe mishuma. Something that, it's not clear what the price is. So there, it's an issue. You know, it's an issue because there it might look like you're getting a good deal as a result of the psak. But over here, we're dealing with buying meat. Meat is weighed X amount of dollars per pound. Hacha miskala muchach. So from the weight of the meat, it's muchach that he didn't get a good deal, so you have nothing to worry about. And the Gemara is, I'll tell you one more story. Ki hada Rava, shara treifasa. Rava was once matar treifa. V'zava min abistra. And after Rava paskin that this animal is kosher, he went ahead and bought some of the meat. Amrali bas Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda's daughter, also known as Rava's wife. So we had Rava's father at the beginning of the daf, Rav Yosef Bar Chama. Now we have Rava's wife, the daughter of Rav Chizda. So either way, he said, I'm the Shari Bukhra of Leizamina. You know, my father, Rav Chizda, he was once Matar Bukhar, but he didn't buy from the animal because he understood that. Being that he was Matarit, it didn't look good. It looked a little, right? So he didn't want to buy from it. So why are you buying this meat? So Amalah. So Rava told his wife, he says, no, it's very different. There's a chilik, there's a lumdus over here. Hani, mili Bukhra. Yeah, your father didn't want to buy a Bukhar because a Bukhar is a live animal. That's Shuma Mizdavin because a live animal doesn't have a fixed price. So the price is based on an estimate of some sort. As a result, he was worried of a chshat. But hach over here, miskala muchach. But over here, meat, we weigh meat before we buy it. As a result, it's going to be muchach as long as we weigh it. And I pay the prevailing rate. There's nothing to worry about. But then he continues, my yikam. He said, what are you worried about? Mishum umtza ma'al yisah? It's very geschmack. He says, I'm maybe going to say there's another issue. That maybe, he sold me. I didn't just buy a piece of meat. I bought the prime rib. I bought the capita rib. I bought the best part of the meat. So you're going to say, the filet mignon, that I bought the chashev stuff. So as a result, maybe that's where the shaykhad is. That maybe, you're right, I paid full price. But, you know, they don't always, unless you reserve sometimes the best cut, they don't give it to you. So maybe it was the fact that Rava got the best piece of meat. That's where the shaykhad is manifest. Rava said, no, kol yoyma upsa mayus is on. I get it anyways all the time. So that's something they give me regardless. So as a result, he didn't feel there was that. So the Gemara had three problems with this maysa. Again, what was the story? The story was that there was a shaylov, a treifa. It was nifsakar gargeres. And there was a question, was it Rav? Was it not Rav? Rav Avya, Rav Chalala, they brought it to Rav. And Rav was going down the path of being machmer. And then the Talmidim of Rav said that, why are you being machmer? I heard Rav Chalala. So he said, you know what? Send it to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. So he sent it to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. And sure enough, Rabbi Bar Chana was mekel. And not only was Rabbi Bar Chana mekel, he went ahead and he bought the meat for himself. And the Gemara had three problems with this. Number one, if Rav was machmer, how was Rabbi Bar Chana allowed to be mekel? Number two, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana shouldn't have eaten from this meat in the first place. Because if it has a shayla, Cheskel Navi said, never ate from a piece of meat that had a shayla. And number three, even if Rabbi Bar Chana was okay eating from this meat, but L'chayra, at the end of the day, he thought he shouldn't have bought it. Because isn't there an inyan of shad? And the Gemara said, 1, 2, 3. The Gemara gave terutzim to all the tekashas. There's really a lot to talk about, and today was a loaded daf. The daf itself took a long time. But just one ha'ara. And that is that the Gemara mentioned this chumra of Yecheskel Hanavi. So last time we spoke about Yecheskel Hanavi, who said, V'nafshi loy metuma sheloy herharti bayoyim lovay liday tuma belayla. So another one of the things that Yecheskel Hanavi said was that he never ate from any piece of meat that required hayras chacham. And the Gemara thought that this is a good minute, so much so the Gemara asked Akasha, why did Rabbi Bar Bar Chana not take upon himself the same chumrah of Yecheskel Hanavi? This halacha is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says as follows. The last Ramah in Yeridesim in Kuf Tezayin. Behema shahira ba chacham misvara. A behema that a chacham paskin misvara. V'lo nimtza hadin beferush. And it's not beferush anywhere whether the chacham's right or wrong. He said a svara, he wrote a tshuva. Shehi muteres bal nefesh lo yoicham imena. A bal nefesh shouldn't need from it. What's the makar? Gemara beperek ilu treifes v'agoyis ashrisham. So this chumra of Yecheskel Hanavi, that the Gemara trickled down to Rabbi Bar Bachana, is brought down in the Ramah. And the Ramah says, it's not for everybody, but it's for a bal nefesh. So behema shayir b'chacham misvara v'lai nimtza hadin b'feirush yimuteres bal nefesh, says the Ramah, lo yoicham imena. It's interesting, the Pischei Tshuva brings a fascinating shayla with regards to if somebody had a piece of meat that was aser, and it fell into a kedera, where it's batel b'shishin. And he decides that, yeah, I don't want to rely on batel b'shishin. Is it okay, or is it not okay? So he says that, you know, based on this Ramah, it may be mocking to say that it's going to be okay. You see already that there's an inyan for a bal nefesh to be machmer, and not to rely on certain things. But then the Pischei Tshuva says that it's not true. He says, v'ayim v'shuv ro'isi b'soylas l'mincha, klal ayin vav din ches, shekosav b'shem toirasa asher, demishe roitza lahachmer, linog iser, bedova shaloi matzinu, shechmiru amoyroin, kigoy, mashen is batal b'shishim, oy b'klisheni, right, we know klisheni is not mavashal. Let's say the person says, there was basav v'cholav and a klisheni, so it's going to be okay. So that klisheni, klirishin, right, it's hard to understand even the difference between a klirishin and a klitaisus, mesach de Shabbos, and perikira, it's not so poshut, the whole havan of it. See, he's going to be a bal nefesh, I'm going to be machmer, I'm not going to rely on klisheni, says the Pischei Tshuva. Sitting or standing. Havi k'moy minus v'yotzas chori b'efsa. It's not because. Because Chazal said klisheni is not mavashal. And because Chazal said there's something called bitul b'shishan. So if it's something that's mefurish in Chazal, and you don't find that the amayron were machmer, you're not allowed to be machmer. That's not because. And you're making up your own Torah already. If it's something that's not mefurish, it's totally in svara. So again, you're afraid to rely on the svara of the chacham. So if you're afraid to rely on the svara of the chacham, al zeh nemar bal nefesh lo yoichal mimeno, and that's what this Ramah is talking about. But otherwise, it's going to be a problem, right? This is reminiscent of the chidah that we spoke out, who quotes the Yerushalmi in the second parak of Masechta Zavei Dezara, that when word came to Bavel that Rebbe Ubeis Dinei were Matir Shemen, Shemen Akum, which was once Aser, and then it became Mutter. So Shmuel took upon himself the kula of Shemen Akum. Rav didn't want to take upon himself the kula. And Shmuel told Rav, you have to be Mekel Shemen Akum, and if not, I'm going to spread the word that you're a Zakim Mamre. It's unbelievable. Yeah, because there's an idea, there is a concept that you now let it go Kineged Chazal. And at the end of the day, yeah, this Toiras HaAsham, that's brought in the Sefer Soilas LaMincha, that's quoted in the Pisch, it's the last Pisch Tshuva in Yerudei Yassim and Kuf Tezayin. He says that if it's something that's Mefurish in Chazal, that's Mutter, and you don't find that Tamiram were ever Mach, Tamiram or Machmer, okay, so now you already have there's a Pesach to maybe be Machmer. If you don't find Mefurish that Tamiram or Machmer, it's to the contrary. It's something that you're not allowed to do. The Chassam Sofer in a Tshuva, it's in Yerudei, it's Tshuva, I'm not going to get to all of it, Tshuva Kuf Mem Tes, brings a very interesting shayla. He says, Nistapakti. I had a suffix. It sounds like it wasn't a real shayla. He says, Nistapakti. I had a shayla. Be'eshes chover. A wife of a chover, of a Talmud Chacham, of a younger man, of a chosh of a person. She did a bedika, and she found something that looks a little bit like that. The shalal lechacham. She brought it to the chacham, v'tir. And the chacham said that it's okay. She's not a nida. It's not real dam. Is it mutter for her husband to be machmer? Ishari labayla lahachmer alatzmai. What would be the precedence? You find the halach in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says in Yerudea, Tzimin Kuf Tezayin, that there's an inyan for a bal nefesh to be machmer, anything that requires sheilas chacham be machmer. So this could be maizim b'chol yoyim. If a woman has a shayla in Hilchis Nida, and she's not sure, is it dam or is it not dam, the chacham's going to look at it, he's going to decide based on his Hashara, his chavis das, his svara, quote unquote, whether or not this is okay or is it not okay. So he wanted to know, maybe this Ramah is in place. So is it okay for a man to be machmer? So said the Chassam Sofer, Muschu Rishon, I think for sure. Well, I don't even hear the shayla. But he said, the reason I'm not sure is because really there's two edges to the sword. And that is because a man has an obligation of oina. Every husband is responsible for share kisos and oina. And oina is tashmish. And if his wife's a nida, then obviously there is no chi of oina. So said the Chassam Sofer, being that he has a shibud of oina, so maybe this Ramah is not in place. If this is something for himself, he doesn't want to eat from this piece of chicken. So that doesn't touch on any obligation that he has, on any shibud that he has. So over there's an inyan for a Baal Nefesh to be machmer. But you're going to go ahead and you're going to be a Baal Nefesh machmer on the expense of an obligation that you have. Shibud is a real thing. It's a chesha mishpat entity. So as a result, maybe his shibud doesn't allow him to do it. Says the Chassam Sofer, I think there's precedence for this shaila. And the Chassam Sofer's precedence is Halach in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down in Eben Ezer, Simen Ayin Vav, Sivkat Aleph. We know that depending on a person's job, that determines what his chi of oina is. And the Mechaber says as follows, just reading from the Shulchan Aruch. Hapoyalim, a poyal, Hatayolim oynasim b'chalayla. Someone that's a tayol, his chi of oyn is every night. Hapoyol pamayim b'shabbos, twice a week. Hachamorim, people that rode donkeys, pamachas b'shabbos, once a week. Hagamolim, someone that rode a camel, achas l'shleishim yoyim. Hamalochim, a sailor, achas l'shish chadashim. Tamidei chachamim oynasim pamachas b'shabbos. Says the Shulchan Aruch, yuchayla isha la'akiv abayla, shaloy la'achlev mimalacha, shaloynasim kreivel malacha, shaloynasim rechayka. What if somebody had a job where it was oynasim b'chalayla, and now he wants to take a new job, he wants to become a sailor. Now it's going to be oynasa once every 6 months. So the halacha is a woman has an obligation, because being that initially when they met, his job was such that it was oynasa b'chalayla or pamayim b'shabbos, he can't go switch the job that's going to come at the expense of her chiyavoyna. Stating that, let's say you have a tayil that's oynasa b'chalayla, says the Shulchan Aruch, and now he wants to be a Talmud Chacham. He wants to go learn, and if he's going to be a Talmud Chacham, his chiyavoyna is only going to be once a week. Ain't nishli yachayla l'akhir. His wife is not allowed to be makhir. And the Chassam Sofer wrote a whole tshuva with a detailed discussion of the Rishayim who discussed this as halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And Lamaisa says, the halach is as follows. The halach is that even if she's screaming and she's saying, no, I married you, I thought you were a tile, I never expected you to become a rabbi and a Talmud Chacham, I'm not masking, and you have a chivayna, so you can't go ahead and absolve yourself from your obligation towards me because you decided now, right, you're having a midlife crisis, and now you want to become, it doesn't work that way, you have a chivayna, this is not something that you're allowed to do. Says, doesn't matter. Say the Rishonim, she has no taina. Why not? And an unbelievable svara. The reason is because every woman has a cheskas kashrus. I mean that she has a cheskas kashrus. It's understood that when she got married, she wanted her husband to be chashuv. She wanted her husband to be as chashuv as possible. And as a result, if she would have known then that her husband would be a Talmud Chacham, she'd be ecstatic. Why wouldn't she want that? Now she's saying that she doesn't want it. She was neskalkal. Something must have happened to her. But at the time, she for sure wanted. Being that she wanted at the time of the Nisuin, there's no mekachtois over here. She can't say, well, when I married you. No, when you married me, we got married, kedas Moshe Yisrael. When she stood under the chuppah and she cried and she was thinking about her future, she was hoping that her husband would be kaveit and batoira. He would be chashiv. He would learn. He would want to steig in his ruchnias. So he said, that's for sure what she was thinking. And as a result, if she's changing her mind now, it's exactly what she's doing. She's doing an about face, and that's not something that she could do. Says the Chassam Sofer, I'll just read you some of the excerpts. The Chematzinu Ba'agada, you find this in Divrei Agada. The Stam Benoist Yisrael Meshoyke Koishiu Balein Tamid Chachamim. Afal Pishay Yifarish Meham Yosef Yemak Boynasa. So the Chematzinu Mevuas Elder Meidan. What happened with the Mevuas Elder Meidan? Elder Meidan was saying, you know, our husbands, the wives were saying, they're so choshev, they're neviim, and ashrei neshoseyem, right? The Gemara praises them. And what happened? Miriam came, and Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. She says, really? Don't get so excited. You know, my sister-in-law, Tzipora, she also married my brother, this was Lashon Hara of Miriam, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu became a Navi, and then he was Pirish Meishtai. She said, you think it's Ashri Nishoseim, Shal Elo Shazach, Lakach, it's just the opposite. It's Oilin Nishoseim. It's Demiyoim Shen Nisiachit, Hadibur, and Baili Pirish Meimen. It's unbelievable. Hainusha Pirish Mekoba Kobi, Ishmael. So, but the point is, it says the Chassam Sofer, that really, they're both true. Meaning, Eldad and Meidah's wives were very happy. They were very proud of their husbands, despite the fact that the madrigas they had reached was going to come at the expense of Oina and maybe some other things. But now, what Tzipora was saying and what Miriam was saying was that look at Moshe. But Moshe is different, because Moshe had to be Parish Meishtoi Legamre. That's not something that was going to affect Eldad and Meidah. So says the Chassam Sofer, you're right. On the Moshe Rabbeinu level, you know, maybe the wives weren't so maskim to it. But as it relates to elder maiden, ordinarily, there's no question that's something that's going to be okay. Umeyatin novel v'nidin didanami. Kivin shekain darkin shel prushin shel yisrael liyazor midavish hayir bechacham. So it says the chasavir, it relates to this halacha. If someone's chashuv, so he's a machmir. Nehid be'esan esuim lehayim esnai gadayim beprishus. Rakish shar tamid chachamim lematzi lemitam lekablas alei shetei chasu deparish. A woman does not have a koyich atayna to say that I never married you. I died to the hachi that you're going to be chashuv. Elam rinon we say kivin shenisus lebacha ragel who zesha asaliyos parish v'chasid v'zikni tamid chachamim calls man shemaskinim. They become more chashuv. U'kishem sha'amru ashrei l'nishayseim shalt elder umedot shezachul l'navua. Who I didn't call Madregas Milas Avoidas Hashem Simchehila Ishtoi. Ukeshetsoi Vachas Amrinan Hashtahu de Israel Ume Oilamoy Nishtabelo Zeha Nirulaniestaiti. So the Chasam Sofer said that he believes that just like the Ramah said it in Yerudea Kufte Zayin, that Behemish Uruba Chacham is Svara. Voloy Nimsadim Beferishim Wuteres Bal Nefesh Lo Yoicham. The same is true in Hilchas Nida. I in Hilchas Nida, isn't there a Shibud? Isn't there a Shibud? And what happens if this person decided years later, after being married for several years, that he wants to be Chashav and now he's going to take on this Chumran Hilchas Nida? We assume that at the time that she got married, she wanted her husband to be Chashav, and even though now she's saying she doesn't want him to be so Chashav anymore, Hashto Hudis, right? And just like it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that a Gamel is allowed to become a Talmud Chacham, or a Tayel is allowed to become a Talmud Chacham, right? You have halachas, even though it's going to be a Miyat Avayna. Or now you can't switch jobs. But when it comes to Talmud Chacham, we assume that no, she wanted, that was her svar. And just like the wives of Elder Umeida, they were so proud of their husbands, despite the fact that it came with an invoice, who I didn't call Madrekas Mailas Avoidas Hashem Simcha Hila Ishtai. It's something that she wants. Every wife wants her husband to shtai. And as a result, says the Chasam Sofer, even if now she's saying she doesn't, something must have happened. But at the time that she got married, this was something she certainly wanted. Incidentally, the Chasam Sofer talks about this in a bunch of places. One of the places the Chasam Sofer says, very gishmak, he says, the Pasuk says that there was Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. So what does the Pasuk say? It says that everybody's bothered. Isha kushas, what does Isha's kushas have to do with, what does it have to do with the Lashon Hara? It says the Chasam Sofer, because what was Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara was that, you see, Moshe was Pirish Meishtai, right? It says, if Tzipira, Isha's, Moshe would not have been an Isha Kushas, it wouldn't have been a bad thing. To the contrary, I mean, it's so chashiv. Imagine, a woman gets married, she doesn't know who she's married. Next thing, her husband becomes the Gadol Hador, becomes Rabban Shel Kol everything. Moshe Rabbeinu. But being that she was an Isha Kushas Lakach, she didn't have that chazalka. That's the only reason it was Lashon Hara. Had it been somebody else, only the Chasam Sofer could say that. But just to conclude, with one tshuva from Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe and Igris Moshe, it's in Yerudei Chelek Dalet, it's in Simin Kuf Pei. It's Simon Tes. Simon Yud Dalet. Okay. So he brings like this. He brings that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes his Tshuva's Chasam Sofer. We just read it. It's Yerideya Simon Kuf Mem Tes, who says that just like the Ramah says this halacha as it relates to a person not wanting to rely on a Rav with regards to Trefus and these things, it's going to be true for Hilchas Nida as well. And Rav Moshe says, I disagree 100. Ulochayra Loidami, the Habara. What's underlying this Ramah? What's underlying this Chumra of Yecheskel and Rabbi Bar Bachana? What's going on here? It's because Yecheskel Navi didn't trust the rabbi. That's what it is. He doesn't trust his rabbi. Is that what this is about? Shavadai hoya Yirmiyo Hanavi. Oy achar gadol ke'ein zeh. His rabbi was Yirmiyo Hanavi or someone of that caliber, says Rav Moshe. The havadai shah al mimisha hoya rabbi, a royalist rabbi. You're not allowed to think your rabbi's making a mistake. You have to have a rabbi and you have to follow what he says. Right? Imagine somebody goes to Moshe, asks him a shayla, he walked back. I don't know, Moshe's plaque is svar, chas v'sholem. You're not allowed to do that. This is, so who did Yecheskel ask a shayla to? Yirmiyo? So he wasn't sure if Yirmiyo was saying a good svar. The gabizokin mamre, afilu hu oimer mi pi ashmua, vehin oimer kachu beinenu nerak. Right? The zokin mamre could have a mesoira going back thousands of years. It doesn't matter. He can't argue with a svar of the Sanhedrin. Right? You're not allowed to go. You're not allowed to do that. Chazin and the gamal a svar of the Sanhedrin ain't list topic. Then came pashut. She ain't list topic. Gamal kol hayros. Roy l'hayro. If someone's a legitimate poisek, right? If someone's a legitimate poisek, you're not allowed to question him. The koshkein al gadol ha'olam ki Yirmiyo hanavi. Who was Yechaskel's rabbi, says Rav Moshe. So really, what are we saying? Yechaskel wasn't sure if he trusted Yirmiyo.
Can't be. V'chein afal svaras atzmoi, says Rav Moshe. That a poysik is allowed to rely on himself, for himself. Imsomach lohiris l'acherim. If he, right? If people rely on him, he can rely on himself. But the bottom line is, says Rav Moshe, that I'm very uncomfortable walking away from chulin daf mem dal amud beis, and this Ramah in Yerudei Asim and Kuf Tezai in thinking that a person now is supposed to start questioning his Rabbonim and his Meiri Hayra and say, I'll be a Baal Nefesh, I'm not going to trust this tshuva, I'm not going to trust that. Chas v'shalom, you're not allowed to do that. His lashon is chas v'shalom lachshav. You're not allowed to think that. So what is it? What does this halacha mean? But Tzoruch Loimar. That the Yisoyed of the Shailas Mishum, the Roiv Shailas, the Betreifis, while Kapanim is a Reyesa. Roiv Treifis Shailas have Reyesas. Gahad the Buah, the Sircha, Kluya, Maris. There's a whole bunch of different Shailas. I mean that there's so many Reyesas, it's so complex. Over here, we say that being that there's anyways a Reyesas, so any head that you're going to have has basis to be machmer. So but there is an Indian to be machmer. You can end up dealing with roivs and chazokis and all these different things. So they don't you don't want to be soivich on all those things. I can hear it. But stama shailin de velta right now? He says the chasam soifer seems to have taken this gemara and he turned it into a new thing. That if you want to be machmer al chasnida, it doesn't matter even though you have a shiba to your wife, that you can just go ahead and apply this. Where Nessus, it's not true, says Rav Moshe. This is something that's true. Dafkin Hilchos Treifas. So it's interesting because we spoke at the Tshuvas Chasam Soifer, Yeridei Simon Yutes, who said that Rav Treifas Shailas and Rav Nevelos Shailas are only Sophic. That's why he wanted to be Makel selling Nevelos to a guy, even though you're running into Avram and Achai of the Bnei Miayim. He said, because anyway, it's a Sophic. We Sophic have to go to Chumra because it's a Cheskazain as a Vuach. When it comes to a Benayach, he doesn't have a Cheskazain as a Vuach, so you can rely on the. So there, that's a Shailah where we have a phenomenon, said the Chasam Soifer, where most Nevela Utrefa Shailas are really only Sveikas to begin with, and as a result, you have a Chumra. Here you have an idea, just the opposite. Where Rav Nevela and Trefa Shailas, even if they're Sveikas, but there's always Reyeses, and you're always coming on to Ravs and Chazakas, and it's for that reason you have the Chumra, you have the Gemara and Chulun, the Hamdal and the Beis, that Ramah brings, that there's an Indian for a Baal Nefesh to be Machmer from any Shaila that's Ton She'elas Rav, not the Ishmael.